You know, we love that expression, sinner saved by grace. Maybe we might want to alter it a little bit and say, I'm just a sinner found by grace, because God's grace does find us. And that is indeed a great thing to know. How many of us have been to the lost and found before? We know that. Well, we've been found. We've been permanently found. And there is great assurance and comfort that comes from that. This morning, I'm going to take a slightly different approach to the sermon. This topic is one that I'm not so sure that we really think about. We know that Jesus prayed, and we know that Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. But I'm not so sure we really grasp the fact that Jesus, on the road to the cross, what was one of the last things he did before everything was set in motion? Now, he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. But John also tells us that he was praying for all believers. Now, that's something that all send chills up our spines. Jesus, at the point of his critical point in his ministry, in that tipping point, in that point that made all the difference, he prayed. He prayed for glorification. He prayed for his disciples. And then he prayed for all believers. And the prayer, what he puts in that prayer, is even more profound. And so we want to really take seriously the fact that, yes, we pray for each other and we pray to God. But may we never forget that Jesus has prayed for us and continues to pray for us from the throne room of God. So we don't think about that either. We're in continuous prayer Jesus has for us. So I raise the question. What are our priorities in our life? And we all have priorities. And if we asked each one of you to list them, there may be some that we share, but there'll be some that are quite distinct for each one of us. What are our prayers? What are our priorities? Well, I'd like to say that our treasures tend to be our priorities. Let's put it that way. Think about what we treasure in life. What is most important to each one of us? Is it God? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it isn't. Is it self? Yeah, sometimes it is. We're not selfish, right? No, we're selfish. We really are. Sometimes it's family. Sometimes it's work. Sometimes it's the Great Commission, sharing the gospel and nurturing each other. And sometimes it's what can we possess. But Jesus, one of his priorities was to take time to be alone with God. Now, I've got a good idea. And, you know, sometimes our prayer lives are very intense. And sometimes they're non-existent, right? We really think about it. We go on and on and on. How many of us, when we say the blessing, I just don't want to forget to say it, if we say it. We might get up at the beginning of the day and pray. Now, I have to admit, the first thing, the words that come out of my mouth in the morning are not prayer. As I'm shaking my head and sitting up in the bed and trying to come to. But you know, if I would spend a little bit of time in prayer, I might come to a little better. The last thing before we go to sleep, did we pray? See, Jesus talked about the importance of being alone with God. But we get busy. We have a lot of things come in, and we forget about it. And we don't realize just how important it is. And then we don't even think about the fact that Jesus actually took time to pray for each one of us, all believers. He took the time to pray for us. But we get so busy. Greg Laurie, who was associated with the Jesus Revolution in that movie, and also has written a study Bible, or put the notes to a study Bible, the New Believer's Bible, talks about that as we grow in Christ, prayer becomes second nature. I think what happens is prayer becomes habitual and we forget about it, until we have a situation where we know we need to pray. But is it second nature for us? Do we really understand the importance of taking time to be alone with God? Because here's one thing I know. This is a rough time to be alive. It's a great time to be alive, but it's rough. It's hard. There are a lot of things coming at us, towards us, in our lives. A lot of things that can derail us. But we have this constant that is within our life. And it's that cross. That's why I wanted, with the clock this morning, I thought, there's got to be a picture that has a clock with Jesus in it somewhere. Had to have Roman numerals, but that's the only one I could find. The whole idea of keeping our eyes upon Jesus. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if those that have the clocks, that have the digital clock, and you have Jesus pick up every time when you look at it. Boy, wouldn't that be good? Because I know sometimes when it goes off, that'd be a great witness for each one of us. See, we want to be persistent in our prayers because it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to say, this just isn't working. It just doesn't work. But it does. It does. We will go through hard times. Now, I'm going to ask you to be very truthful. If you've never faced a hardship, raise your hand. If life has never turned upside down on you, raise your hand. If you've never experienced great heartache, raise your hand. If you know that Jesus makes a difference in your life, give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Because through it all, I keep thinking about Andre Crouch and think through it all. You're right. And Andre Crouch had a rough life, up and down. Beautiful gifts. But he had his struggles too. You see, it's in the midst of all of that that we want to take time to draw closer to God. And one of the ways that we can draw closer to God is through prayer. Even when we don't feel like praying. So we have a blessed assurance. We have a guarantee for Jesus. And we find it in John chapter 17. So if you would, turn with me to John chapter 17. And we'll look at verses 20 through 26. Jesus begins, I pray not only for these, now he was talking about the disciples, but also for those who believe in me through their word. You see, the disciples were being released into the world. And when Jesus dies and rises again and ascends to heaven, it is the disciples who are charged with spreading the word. And we're a result, each one of us are an outcome of that spreading of the word. And we're also asked to what? Spread the word. So I pray not only for these, the disciples, but also for those who believe in me through their word. May they all be one as you, Father, are. And in me, and I am in you. In other words, may the presence of Christ dwell in each one of us. May we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as part of who we are. May we realize that we are God's children. We are all one in Christ, every one of us. Demographics don't mean anything. It's who is in us? Christ. Christ. May they also be in us so that the world may believe you sent me. May they all be in us, also be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me. What is the world believing right now? Let me get to that in a minute. I have given them the glory you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me, so that they may be made completely one. That the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Now, one of the things you'll notice as you read the Gospel of John is he repeats what he's saying. Often, right after he's just said it, to drive it home. It's for emphasis. It's for importance. Because let me tell you something. How many of us, we hear something goes in one ear and it goes right out the other? And if we were to ask the question, what'd you say? Because we listen, but we don't listen. I mean, I know what to ask Carol. I mean, do I listen? No. Sometimes I should. Father, I want those who have given me to be with me where I am. You catch that one? See, changes the mood now. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am so that they will see my glory which you have given me because you loved me before the world's foundation. We sing the song, Victory in Jesus. Why? Because our lives has been transformed. And when we die, where are we? In the presence of God, with Christ. See, Jesus is saying, where he is, we will be. Where he is, we will be. It was so interesting that we sang the song, the hymn that had Mount Pisgah in there. And I thought, and I know you thought back, because that was a point from there to where? The presence of Jesus, the beginning and the new beginning. See, all of us have those Mount Pisgahs, all of us. Righteous Father, the world has not known you. However, I have known you, and they have known that you sent me. I made your name known to them and will continue to make it known so that the love you have loved me with may be in them and I may be in them. So, Jesus prays for us. We are to be one with the Father. He also has a place for us. And we will be with him. We have these assurances. So, how's our witness? How is our witness on a daily basis? People don't listen to our words, right? So you're saying, why are you sitting there preaching? Well, I've been thinking about that. People don't listen to words. They respond to character. People respond to who we are, how we treat each other. We can talk about love or we can what? Demonstrate it. We can talk about forgiveness or we can actually what? Demonstrate it. We can talk about patience or we can actually be patient. You see, it's our character. It's the strength of our character. Are we Christ-like? And are we growing in Christ? Now, are we going to have some twists and turns? Are there going to be some things that don't always go right? I mean, that's part of what life is. But people are going to see us, and we will be judged not so much by what we say, but who we are. Who we are. And may people know, remember that old song, they'll know that they're Christians by your love. Now, that's going back to the 60s and 70s. Now, I'm really dating it. But that was a good song. It was straight and to the point. You see, the world is watching us. What are they seeing? We are to let the people know about Christ. But I got to thinking about something. The world, it's important that we be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. But as we confront the world, there will be many who will be glad to hear and will respond. There will be some that will not. There will be some that will turn away. And let me give you a solution, or not a solution, but an illustration. The world doesn't always want to hear what we have to say. Amen? That's the truth. That's the truth. And the world, at various times, will suppress the message. Now, let me give you an example. And don't think I'm crazy. Now, I am a little off. But let me give you an example. Climates we will find ourselves in. But we have been asked to be part of the transformation of the world and not be transformed ourselves by the world. Sometimes the world is ready to hear what we want to say, and sometimes the world does not want to hear what we have to say and will suppress what we have to say. Have Christians been persecuted? Yes. Are they persecuted all throughout the world? Yes. Could that someday come to us? It could. We don't know. But will we be ready to give that witness of who we are, no matter what we might have to face? You see, Paul helps us out with this situation. And he helps us out in Romans, in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8. So if you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8 and take a look at verse 35. You see, we have victory in this life and in the next. So a very, very familiar passage, but one that helps us remember why we're here and what God has done and will do. So if we look at Romans chapter 8, verse 35, Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? No matter what happens to us or what situation we may find ourselves in, we do not have to be separated from who? Christ. We don't have to be separated. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Jesus loves us no matter what we're facing. Can afflictions separate us? No. Can afflictions hurt us? Yes. Can our afflictions cause us to lose hope and faith? Yep, they can. But Christ, we're not separated from Christ's love, even in the midst of those afflictions. Distress or persecution. Things aren't going to always go our way. Does that mean Christ's love has been taken away from us? No. Or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. You see, Paul's talking about a lot of things that he experienced. But he's also talking about things that we may experience ourselves. And if so, hey, I got some help. You want? Okay. This time I happen to think I got it. We're not separated. And then if you go down to verse 37, no. All these things we are more, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, or powers, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. Nothing. Nor height, nor depth, or any other creature, created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, Jesus prays for us, continues to pray for us, and we cannot be separated. You know, I like the song, because he lives. What's the next part of it? I can face what? Let's edit it a little bit. It's good, but too often tomorrow what? Doesn't come. So let's edit it a little bit. Because of Jesus, I can face today. And tomorrow. Because of Jesus, because he lives, I can face today. Because Jesus has prayed for me and you. He continues to intercede for us. And we can face today, no matter what it may be. Afflictions, distress, persecution. We are prayer warriors. Jesus prays for us. And we pray for others, and we pray to God for strength. Charles Spurgeon, in commenting on the passage of Paul in Romans, said there are four things that we really want to remember out of that passage, and they bear repeating. First, God loves us. God does love us. He always has. And he always will. Second, God has demonstrated his love for us. How? Right here. Suffering and glory. Suffering and glory. He loves us this much. This much. Third, as believers, we know that Christ resides within us and we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. May we remember it. May we remember it especially when we're caught in the crosshairs. hairs, especially when we've been blindsided, especially when something catches us off guard. May we realize that Christ is there. And then fourth, nothing can break the bond of love that God and Christ have for us. Nothing breaks it. Nothing breaks it. You see, Jesus loves us. He prayed for us. He continues to pray for us. And one day, he has made a what? Place for each one of us. Amen? Amen. Now this morning, whether you hear